book of John, chapter 1. Text claims our attention for this sanctuary service as we make ready to enter into 2024. We've been talking about forever joy, forever peace. If I had got to the mic last week, I'd have talked about forever love. It's all, this whole season has been about the Christ, and we are here still celebrating the Christ. And John has presented his record for us. If you would follow me down about verse number 9, I'm just going to pick up, and it's very familiar to us. Chapter 1, John, St. John, chapter 1. He's been talking about the Word, and the Word come flesh and dwelling amongst us and whatnot. The witness that John was of this light. Here it is in verse 9. It says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Amen. You may be seated. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Got a question for us this morning. Do you have that power? I want us to go into the new year, to the 2024, without that power. Yeah, I want to know, do you have the power? You got to look at neighbor there. Just look at it. Do you have the power? Do you have that power? Do you have the power? I want you not to leave here this morning without the power. I don't want y'all young people with your heads down today. I want you looking up at me. I did this just for you. I need you to get the power. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yeah, here it is, y'all. That this light is like the preachers was asking me. Prophet Coleman, they was asking me yesterday and even this morning, you know, what's the word? What do you preach about? I said, I'm talking about the light. If the choir had sung today, they would have said, Jesus is the light of the world. I need us to understand that there is a light, the light that comes, that shines, it shines in darkness and it brings forth great light. But that light, Jesus, has come to us, come on the inside of us and begins to shine forth from us, so that we know that you don't only know the light, you have the light, and the light is shining through you.
Yeah.
That's why the old people said, "Let your little light shine." Yeah, they wanted to shine. They want you to shine. Here it is, John, that John has to go back to talking about Jesus. Too many of us are all up in church talking about everything but Jesus. And John said, I need you to understand that Jesus is the light of the world. He says that there has been a revelation. A revelation has happened because John has begun talking about that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Yeah. He come talking about that that there was light, and that light was the light of men. And then he needs us to understand that all he's talking about is Jesus. He says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man, every man, every man, every person. all without distinction, all have some light.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody got some light. And those of us who received no written revelation have the light of creation and conscience. God gave the Jews the added light of covenant and commandment. Now God has given the world the light of Christ.
Yes.
He's given us the light of Christ. Now, and no one can escape all of these sources of the light that he has available for us, because the Holy Spirit is going to make sure of that. God holds people responsible for the light they have. If you have the light of Christ, you have a responsibility to let that light shine. And in a day and time where we have gotten a full understanding of Jesus, who is the Christ, we have no excuse but to let it shine. There are some people that don't know the Christ. They have not been enlightened. The light has not shown up on the inside of them. I'll tell you why in just a minute. The light hasn't come to them, but to those of us who have received the light, we have a responsibility to let our light shine. My light need to shine so much so that it jump off on Olivia. That my light ought to help Olivia's light to get lit up.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, y'all. Our lights need to shine. Yeah, there has to be some revelation. He says, I need to help you understand that Jesus is the light of the world. But that light, Jesus, who has been revealed to us by John, John keeps writing and he says to us that there were some folk who resisted the light. Light was revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Light switch came on. You saw this light. Preach, Watson. There are some folk who resisted to light, and it was nothing seemed so astonishing to John than the resistance to Jesus. Yeah. You go all the way back to the beginning of things. John was still amazed at how quickly and how completely people, both Jews and Gentiles, turned away from the light.
All right.
He just get on his nerves. How do you turn away from the light? The Lord saw the light. He saw his light resisted by his own creatures. I'm in the book, verse number 10. It says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Look at him. He's walking through the fields, seeing everything, just plucking up grass, smelling the flowers. He had created them. He knew all about its structure, all about the photosynthesis, all about the mystery of the plants, pollination and germination. He knew all about the its complex chemistry. He walked beside the Sea of Galilee. He knew all about its topology of the lake, how deep it was and how shallow it was in other places, the pebbles at the bottom of it. He knew the fishes that swam around up in the waves and things. The world was made by him. He knew all about astronomy, chemistry, physics, biology, mathematics, and medicine. He knew every law that science had come up with, and even the laws that science still don't know nothing about. Yeah, it's not because he studied them. It's because he is the author of all of them. Now, he looked at the world through the eyes of man. He looked at them. Somehow he's looking through the eyes of man, and in the mystery of his being, he had infinite understanding of all things. Even as a man, he knows everything. This creator, he walked the Galilean fields, and he walked the Jerusalem streets. And while he's walking, wisdom, love, and power looked out of his eyes and were felt in the touch of his hands. It was the touch of his hands that you could feel the love. You would experience his wisdom. You could feel the power just as he passed by. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. To John, that was a supreme tragedy and irony. He just couldn't believe it. People rubbed shoulders with God, yet they were too blind to see. How is it that we come up in here week after week and can experience the power, the presence of God? Walk out as if we don't even know what you're talking about. The Lord was resisted by his own creatures. But worse still, he was resisted by his own countrymen. There's some stuff right here. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That is, he came to the Jewish people, and they ain't have no use for him. Ain't have time for him. He had been preparing them for this coming for centuries. Mm-hmm. The prophets had foretold it. The regathering to the promised land from the Babylonian exile had really pushed them to this end. It had heralded, it had talked about the coming of this Christ. The cold deadness and formality of the religion echoed the need for one who could breathe life into dead bones. We just been walking around looking for somebody that could breathe life.
Yeah.
Into our dead bones. John the Baptist, he's shown up on the scene to announce the imminence of his coming. But Jesus was not the kind of Messiah they wanted. My God. You know, that's like the classic biblical illustration of Joseph, the father's well-beloved son, the firstborn of old Jacob's heart. Joseph was set apart from his kinsmen, the children of Israel, by the unique position that was afforded him in the family. You know, he was set apart because of his coat. He got a special coat. Everybody know he favored and hated at the same time. He was set in deliberate contrast to his brothers. His goodness and obedience stood in stark relief to the evil and wickedness of the others. Yeah, he had his biggest problem was his mouth, because he couldn't stop talking about his dreams. His dreams that were going to exalt him, that he was going to be exalted. He was going to be boosted. And he was going to be talked about how wonderful life was going to be. He couldn't stop talking about what the Lord had shown him. And they hated him. The Old Testament historians say that they envied him and could not speak peaceably to him. It's bad. We can't even think. We ain't got a good word to say to you, all because favor is on your life. And at last they conspired against him, sold him for the price of a slave, and delivered him into the hands of the Gentiles. All right after they just come from the presence, the immediate presence of the Father. So they brother. So the Lord Jesus came to his own. And his own received him not. Now, this light had not only been revealed. He said this light had been resisted, but this light also was received. Somebody got it, y'all. Did you get it? You ought to ask him, did you get it? Did you get it? Somebody got it. John, he gives this marvelous text to talk about how pure and concentrated things can be in Christ. Pretty much, he's given us a formula of how you can be born again, how you can get new life, how redemption comes to the believer. It's right there. This is the plan of salvation for your life. This is how you get saved. This is how you get into the family of God. Yeah, it's in the text. It says, but because he thought there were some people that resisted, but then there's some people that did get it. He says, but you know, there's some revealing things that come after the but in the Bible. Some wonderful revealing buts that they are small hinges of which great truths and destinies swing. There's some great stuff that swing on buts. The scripture says there, verse 11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Keep reading, but y'all see it? Thank God that wasn't the end of the story, because the people weren't receiving it. You know, and John, in his old age, he had begun to see millions get saved. He had begun to see them all around the world come to Jesus, come to be born again. And here John gives us what he causes the formula again for this new birth, y'all. He describes the spiritual birth of the child of God right here in verse 12. But as many as received him,
right,
to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become sons, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You got to note the verbs there. It's a believe, receive, become. I had to put them in the chronological order that you would receive them. In the case of a human birth, two factors interact, the equation of life, the human and the divine. The human beings do their part, and then God performs the miraculous, and life is created in the womb. A new life, new birth happens. It happens. A child is born. Same thing in the natural birth. It is in the spiritual. It's in the new. We do our part. God performs the miracle. And life begins. Spiritual life, divine life, eternal life. A new child is born into the family of God. The process, Sister Watson, revolves around these verbs. You got to trust the process. Yes, you do. See, the first thing it says is that we must believe. Believe on his name. Chris, it says believe on his name. The name is not mentioned here, but there's no doubt that y'all know what it is. You know what it is. That name is Jesus. The name that John uses more than anybody in the Bible. But John, more than all the other evangelists, confronts us with the Lord's deity, yet keeps his humanity before us from beginning to end. But while reminding us over and over again of Jesus's humanity, John never lets us forget that he was more than human. So we are to believe on his name. Why, Reverend, believe on his name? Well, his name is the key to our salvation. That's how you get saved. His name. Yeah, when he was about to be born, the Lord sent a messenger to Joseph with the command, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. So to believe on his name is to believe in what his name signifies or what his name represents. It is to believe that Jesus can save me from my sins. And that presupposes that we know and understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior. I need you to know that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, you are a sinner and you need to be saved. I need a Savior. It is a great step when we get to the place where we recognize that we need him. When we recognize that we are a sinner. When we are able to believe in his name. If you can believe in his name. But it doesn't put us in the family just because we believe in the name. All right? That it don't put you in the family. That's second part to the equation. It's stated first in the text because of the primary importance of it. But it says it is to receive him. You got to believe him and then receive him. This is elementary, but bless God for elementary. You can't get to high school without going to elementary. It is to as many as received him that he imparts new life. He don't give you new life if you don't receive him. Yeah, to them that receive him, he gives new life. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is a Savior. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is the Savior. You got to believe that Jesus is my Savior. And I need you to get it to be your Savior. He's my Savior, but is he your Savior? You got to get to that place. The only way that can happen is for me to receive him. I got to receive him. That step simply involves inviting Jesus, the one who saves people from their sins, to come into my heart and my life as Savior and Lord, to live and rule and reign in my innermost being. I need him on the inside. How does believing and receiving make one a child of God? Well, that's our part. Do your part. When we do our part, God performs the miracle.
Yes, yes.
He says, become. And we become a child of God. Yeah, he imparts new life. The Holy Spirit comes in and indwells the human spirit, bringing with him the life of God. When the Holy Spirit shows up on the inside of you, you have the very life of God on the inside of you. The life-giving power of God flows in and regenerates our human spirits. We have life from above. We share the divine nature. We become children of God. Yeah. And that's good right there. That's enough. He begins to make comparison and contrast. If you keep on reading John, he begins to describe the supernatural birth of the Christ of God. The text says, which were born. Others say, who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If we're reading that correctly, the verse amplifies the statement previously stated. It shows that a person's new birth, the saved folk, is not of human descent because it is not of blood. Yeah, so it can't be human because it's not of blood. Just because my parents are God's children doesn't make me one of God's children. It's not by blood. It's not DNA. Not by blood. It's not of human desire. The B clause in verse 13 says, not of the will of the flesh. No amount of wishful thinking. I know you wish this and you wish that. No amount of wishful thinking can make you a child of God. I might wish I was a child of a millionaire, but that doesn't make me one. I don't care. I can have lived in my little fantasy world and dream it up real good and convince myself that I'm a son of a millionaire. It ain't nothing but foolishness. That's all it is. It's not of human descent and not of human desire. Man, it's not of human design. Design, because the C clause in verse 13 says it's not of the will of man. No amount of parental or personal resolve can make me a child of God. I know y'all want to make your children saved. You can't make them. And you can't do it if you try. My parents may have had me baptized when I was a child. But that does not make me a child of God. That's only the will of man. I may use all my strength of character to live a good life. Because some folks think, I just live good. I just do good. I can perform religious duties and achieve spiritual goals. But those things will not impart new life to you. It's a birth. You got to be born again. There must be a born. We are born of God according to the three spiritual laws given there in verse 12. But by the time you look at this verse again, there are those who argue the phrase "who were born" should be rendered "who was born," so that you can get a full understanding that they're talking about the Lord Jesus in this case. That one whose saving name we are to believe, the one who himself was born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so if that is so, this is the John's definition, y'all, of the virgin birth of Christ that has been given to us in this text. He says, you got to understand that there was one Jesus who was born not of the flesh, not of the will of the flesh. It was of God and God alone. If we believe in him and on that name, salvation comes to our house. It belongs to us. That's how you get saved, that you believe on his name. That's how you get saved. You receive him into your heart. That's how you get saved, because your believing and your receiving pushes God to have you become his child. It's an automatic if you believe and you receive. You're a child of God. If you believe on the name of Jesus the Christ, salvation belongs to you. And I don't want us to leave 2023 without the power that comes with that name. There is power that comes with the name of Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I have received Jesus for myself. And now I'm thankful that he has given me power. His power. He died to deliver his power. He had the power. He would impart some things. The scriptures declare that it was after he died, was buried, and was raised again the third day that he received all power and then made declaration that he wants to give it to everyone who would believe. Do I have any believers in the building today? Do you believe on the name of Jesus? Have you received him for yourself? If that's the case, he says, come, become my child. Amen. As we stand all over the building, the doors of